Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about Podomation 6, where I just report about the general automation that I'm putting into podcasting. So this is a long, long slog. Each time I report, I think, oh, look, I'm that much closer. So what's starting off is that the overall idea is that I do a podcast, put the dictaphone in the computer, everything's automated. I can preview various things. It filters out, basically it removes the podcasts off the little dictaphone, simply because it's USB, I don't know, 0.5. It's very, very slow. Takes it off there, stores it on the computer. I can listen to it. If it's okay, I give it a title, a bit of story to it. What else? Write a multiple choice question. Put a few ampersands around that, and then that. And when I've done that for a few podcasts, so all the podcasts are stored in an array. When I've done that for a few, it will publish those. That is, put music either side of them, compress them, put pictures and artwork on it, on all its various forms, to put it forward, and then put it through to a directory. There's an FTP file transfer protocol engine which is looking at it. I realise that this engine is now sits in background. It actually doesn't require the front panel to be on. Once it's on, I don't know where the computer stores the idea. So I was a bit horrified. I thought I closed down the program, and today it took off another podcast, which I was suddenly going for one person. It automatically published it off into the web, which wasn't what I was aiming to do with this one. So that took going across, and so it's one touch to get it all up. And the idea is that you can produce not just a flash in the pan, but every single lesson and every single thing, you can actually produce the podcast for it. And of course, after that, you've got a few things that are a resource for a series of podcasts, and a series of podcasts on topics to be stored in these next generation apps. So if you haven't been listening before, I've in the background made a maths discovery, which is really the humanity maths, I call it, but it's basically like an IP address for a thought, a stream of thoughts, a line of arguments, an IP address for that. Oh, gee, this is getting very cold here, walking at night in my podcasting. I've got a blanket over my head, but still it's unbelievably cold here, and I just thought I'd go down this way to get away from the heavy traffic. Oh, is it still a car coming past? Okay, so that's the general idea. And so there are these automatic apps where it's like a never evolving gallery of your mobile phone with a panel up to do it with the resources. So there's basically a gallery of your mobile phone. As you press it, it opens up a larger tile. A larger tile contains resources and a series of structures for it. Now, what that means is that to actually put a tile down in these apps, it's simply scraping off and putting a text file to it. Now, strangely, I did it more as a prototype experiments, And with anything, when you build your first version of it, it's a lab version, so really it's basically the lab version. I've given it off to a few people to write their own apps. It hasn't gone really far, people don't understand what it is, and you know, such is life. You've got these things where you've got an inkling of what's right mathematically, and it definitely doesn't get there if you don't work on it, and if you do work on it, you get a bit towards it. May come up. So these apps. So I've written the software to basically take general information and publish a key. And so it does that on the file, and then using these files, it's read and actually makes an app. So it's a little bit of effort. To get across doing one, there's things I've forgotten about. There's a secret plus one to actually get the tiles to go in the correct position, and then if you want the tile for the next idea, it's actually plus two. Just a little bits and pieces like that to get it up and going, and to handle arrays and things like that. So that's okay. Realizing that I'd written automation for live automation, this next degree of automation requires a series of things to have been done. And so as it publishes each podcast, it just publishes basically a line of code, a strip of code, an array of information about it, and that's given into a file. So look, if I'm experimenting, trying to actually work out what piece of error, it looks like I may have actually published 20 of the same podcast over and over. It's sort of hard to rein it in to stop it publishing it to the internet, and it's just to find out little things, and the these are little bugs, you know, like there was a bug in the to MP3. I had to pick that up. There's other little bugs. So as those bugs go away, you sort of think, oh, what was I really working with it? So it's so as you produce, you basically almost produce a little file, which just basically records all the podcasts going up. And then what I've done today, and it's just more agony going through it, takes that all those little files, reads off the description of the front, creates a drop-down panel where you can highlight the ones that you want, and I've slowly been decorating and adding more options to it, so you can select as many as you want and delete them, which I've been doing to get down. These are you don't want to be working with prototype files. So this is the overall thing that improving the efficiency as you go along. You get the reward of your investment. So it's easier now for me to pump out podcasts, and it's I just stored the data rather than deleting it, knew that further down the track I'd get a program which would just doesn't delete the podcast, though it could, because it's there's certain regions I'll start deleting podcasts. The major thing is that I've the podcast, because they're published on the internet, it's backed up, and everything's nice and secure. Everything's a bit bulky on the internet because you know that you're going to modify things. If you modify it, you don't want to have to worry about the legacy stuff. So it's hard to explain. So quizzes and jumble words all refer to the JavaScripts that are are up there published with it. So if I modify a JavaScript, it's got the current version of the current thing because it's published with it. It's so small compared to the podcast file. They're quite massive, these podcast files going up. I can't see a way to compress them. I've sort of compressed them as much as I can by a factor of two or more. After that, it sounds a bit dicky. There must be ways to compress it a bit more. So that's a major bottleneck. Okay, so you've got these signature files, or almost little files, which basically give you the basic information, and you have to order this information and pass it to a program which I've written, which actually takes that information and puts a file up, modifies it, and it should actually go back to the program and republish or redirect notice to it. It's there. It's just so complex to get up and going. So these people have got fantastic programming skill. So I don't. I've just got the basics of high level robotics skills, so I can get the robots to, well, not the robots, the G, C++ programming to automate sort of clumsy things. Halfway through, I had with my son a bit of a exploration about space. He's got to do a space thing. He put on Celestia, then he shut the computer down. We've only got one computer. Shut the computer down at the end. I lost a bit of programming, and it took a while to get back. Surprisingly, what took me about an hour before was 10 minutes just reprogramming to go across, and it's a bit difficult. So what happens is that if you if you've got a table, if you want to store a subtable in it, you've got to replace, in the subtable, you've got to replace the tabs and carriage returns, because it, when it's reading, it just, you know, it just uncoils. It's just a nightmare, and you have to keep on doing it. And I have a specialist thing. I'll probably be taken out and tortured, and I don't know, told off for doing this. But I have an letter exclamation mark as my specialist character, specialist token string. I just find that you've got your standard token strings, and if you embed it later down the track, you've got some files innocently be seen around, looked by another program which has its own token strings, and you know, you're just a nightmare material time. So for each of these files, these podcasts, I want a data record of what app it's been sent to, when it's been sent, a comment on it, and an executive command that's later on read, and I haven't done this yet, later on read to build the app for. So that's pretty straightforward. But it's been a bit of an effort I've got to say a list of, looks like 100 podcasts, probably about 50 podcast titles, and a group of, I think it's from about 16 to 26 of Japan's greatest victories. I'll have to get back onto that. And so there's various ones, and I've organised it such that you can free text retrieval, do interrogation, do a search. So what happens is you just do a search on Japan's greatest victories, JGV, and it brings them all up. And then what you have to do is for that, and I've just up to this point here, where it goes through, so it's got an array, then puts a subarray of where it's in the table. So it might be the 13th, 17th, 23rd, and 30th entry is Japan's greatest victory. So what happens is it picks those up, puts in a smaller list. The smaller list would then, those would be 1 to 5. Then you highlight 1 to 5. So I'm waiting for someone else up at the station as you come along. You highlight those up. And so it has an array of 1 to 5, which corresponds to, I don't know what I said, 13, 17, 23, so on. So it knows to go across there. And then one by one, it goes across and augments the actual text data entry. And it augments it in such a way that it updates a field on it. Now this would be sort of a bit crazy. You could do it with a Perl or a database, but this is just internally stuff. And look, it's there, it's worked. That's where I'm up to. So I've written stuff, and it's hard to say. Like, it takes a little bit longer than going in straight off. So what I've had is sort of like this Band-Aid solution where it takes the genuine file but writes its result to a slightly differently named file, so it doesn't write over it. So you can, it says it's going there, it doesn't destroy your work. And so you have to put that in. Then when it's up and running, you verify it, you have to take it out. Sort of like plumbing. You have to, I don't know, turn off the water, do various things. You just can't get in there. So there's that extra effort. So what is it? Possibly a, I don't know. Initially I thought it would be take me 6 months to get to this point, but I don't know, maybe tomorrow. I'll get in trouble if I keep on working on this too much. Tomorrow I'll get there. Now this is a really important watershed, because that what it's going to start to mean is that a series of podcasts I do, say, like, I'm going to do a podcast on the different number of universes. You know, I think I started off with 3, I'm up to 5, I'm going to go up to 6. I think 6 is where we can stop and relax. And universes, I'm also going to put worlds inside the universes. That's an education thing. Now, what happens is that, let's see, you've got majority of people will knock you off on one podcast. They just won't listen to you. Well, it's around here where I'm working on. And I sort of begin to understand the structure of it. They're actually not interested in anything to do with me. They're interested in looking after their own conditions, and they haven't been really hygienic in the decisions that they've made. And so they've made a series of decisions that have meant that I'm can either roll over, sounds awful, roll over and die, disappear, or evolve into something bigger. And so I'm trying to evolve into something bigger, but that's not their interest whatsoever. Their interest is in sort of keeping continuity of their decisions. So if they've decided to make it hard and it's impossible for you to return, then that's the driving force. So it just means that the threshold of ideas is very hard to get up. So you produce ideas, and you know you get no feedback from it, nothing to get there, but you have to add it together. Now, the important thing is that if you have no feedback for it, you then present an idea, but it's in a podcast system, and what happens is that you can not only listen to the podcast of me doing the 16 verses, you can actually listen on to dates. I should put the bloody date in there. It's easy enough because they're just text fields in a file. They're nothing to do with databases, and so it's easy enough to pick out. But it's sort of getting pretty wild in terms of the wiring there, and you long to just run Unity files, and Unity files is sort of like the laziest early DOS way of managing data. It's just insanely opaque to get in and manipulate afterwards. They're just a real mess. So a Unity file is like you've got your application, you set your preferences, and that's set in a Unity file. So you can use that almost all the time live to do it. I really love doing that. But, that comes at a cost. Okay, but getting back. So with the apps, there might be 0.5% of the audience somewhere which might get onto it, and that's going to be really significant because that 0.5% will double the 0.5% I get somewhere else. But also, when you see these apps together, all the podcasts will be arranged as little buttons on your mobile phone. You can just press down and you say, oh, what did he say about 6 months ago? Oh, he's a bloody idiot. He didn't think of that. Or he railed on about how this was the best, this is the end, and then a day or two later he's come up with something else. What an idiot. But this way of looking at it, and I don't think that's been previously available with podcasts, that there'll be this new generation app. And why do it? Well, because there's lots of applications for this class of apps to go forward. It's just I don't have the marketing. Sort of like there's two levels. I personally don't have the marketing skills to promote it, but there's that factor, and then there's the second factor that it's a relatively hostile environment. I know it's hard to believe, but it's just a matter of breaking through. And one of the things is that if the hostile behaviour is sort of triggered by people trying to cover up how we've done something wrong previously, or if I just keep on doing a bit more wrong, maybe I'll get through. They've got no way to retreat on not letting me publish or teach stuff like that. I don't know how successful it is, but it is a factor, meaning that I just have to keep on plodding away and producing. And it's one of these things that it's like any long-term race. You've done your first tenth of it, and part of you still has to say it's not long now. It's not far to a third of the way. So look, I'm just really, really pushing. And I don't know, it's not programming itself, but in general there's a general idea of how much effort that you have to put in to produce it. So I can produce a good structured app with all the podcasts put on it, but at the moment it would take me 3 or 4 hours to write and go back and fasten and check. So it's much easier to take 6 hours initially. It's going to take probably more than that to write automation software to allow me to do that. And what happens is that it will mean I'll be able to keep on producing podcast series after podcast series on app after app. And look, what I think is going to be success will not be probably the first success. It'll be something else which will come along. And it may not be the audience that I think which will pick it up. It may be other people who can pick it up, or they can pick up some bizarre just sort of, oh, I can see how this could be valuable in this way. So where I think it's going to be very, really valuable is that your podcasts will be put in a neat little array of apps, one after the other. And so I'm just going up a little bit of a hill here. I should be much better here. Yeah, so you've got apps, one after the other, and then particularly if they're development apps, look, there'll be, you know, like here's the Podomation apps. So it's actually rather easy because you name a style, a thematic app, say universe, something rather, you always use the word universe, so you can free text retrieve all podcasts that you've published with universe in it, and it's stored all the basic information. So the basic information that you have on your basic feed has to be translated across to the button. Now it's going to be different from a feed. So with a feed, you just have to keep on plugging away, and you know, at the point of the feed, you have to turn up the asset class there. So there's a button on each feed, should be a button on each feed, that will give you the quiz, B, give you the word scramble, and then, or eventually link you to the app. Yeah, it's not, that's a day or 2 days off. To be fair, I probably think it's a week off of work, because there's a lot of things in it, and also, you know, you're struggling along, saying, oh, what do these people want? Your overall student, you know, do they know to press? You know, I've got people who say, look, I don't know how to load down an MP3 or something like that. So when I look on it, I've got that audio player. But again, I think the audio player takes a long time to load. Should I do one with a 5-minute preview? So you can listen to the 5 minutes preview and say, it's finished. That's crap. I don't want to listen to any more. If they do that anyway, why don't you put, I'll publish it up such as a quick 5-minute preview. So when you click on it, you know, you're limited to bandwidth. It's just the major thing is that, if I can really cut down the MP3, stuff. So what happens is I'm playing around with the bandwidth, high pass, low pass filter. You think, you put in a low pass filter, it gets rid of the high frequency information. And the high frequency information obviously is more crinkly. It's got more data on it. No, it just have no effect on the file size. What's that all about? How do you actually compress the file size? No one seems to know. Yet commercial people know how to compress files because they can compress them really small, and YouTube compresses it really small. And that's another thing that I've worked out with YouTube. I could turn on just point it towards YouTube. Okay, I did that for a while. No one was really watching it. I lost a few subscribers, and the people, it's just basically the people who don't know how to listen to podcasts can click onto YouTube, and really the YouTube is best off with actual video. There's nothing worse than YouTube and a static picture and a boring voice going along with it. So I can do that. Unfortunately, we're on very low budget. So my headset of headphones, which I'm listening to it all, is with a, $2 headphone and the, little dictaphone. Oh, I had one dictaphone and, of course it crashed and blew up, so I've got a $99 dictaphone, but I just don't have the money, and the camera I had, unfortunately, it's during my sickness stuff, and I was really sick, and I couldn't keep track where the charger is. Where's the charger? No. And eventually the little camera blew up, and I do have a green screen camera set up, but in terms of the overall production, like if I'm getting good now to actually produce them, I can actually do it. But you know, what do I actually want to do? I think what really means, you know, this is producing YouTubes of it. I really want to get launch it in combination with Blurt. I've seen this other person just talk about authority, and he talks it in a very sort of loud, I find almost monotonous way, doing it through saying what I'm telling you is really obvious and blah blah like that. And you can see because he's wearing glasses that he's reading a teleprompt and just pumping them out there. I suppose he must get some money for it. I'm not almost as a matter of principle not putting any advertising or anything like that, because I do think there is potential for, oh, should I actually point this out? Ah, yeah. So with the apps, you can have buttons on to sell various products, except, you know, it's like so far behind YouTube and stuff like that. So you're looking at various solutions. You can have a button on it where a company offers themselves a solution and a form. I say I'll have to chat with my a friend in marketing who's really a true believer, Jane Jackson, to see if we can understand. So look, there is money in there, marketing money in there, but it's not being involved in getting a big cut to YouTube. There's a sort of another thing of putting advertising within the apps, and a much more sophisticated advertising. It's just, that's a long way. That's a sort of like a side issue. So that's where the podcasts are. And the general aim of this is that I get some exercise and chat to you and actually put out the, well, look, I am actually aiming for perhaps 10 podcasts a day, 10 20-minute podcasts. What's that? 200 minutes, that's, 63, that's an awful lot of time. I won't be able to do that much. But this has cut down the actual edit time, and sort of a major edit time is just being able to put the ampersands in your text, and it'll be able to strip that off. And it's sort of the other aspect of it is that you, there's these, games which are ideal for deep learning, but they're not the sort of games that sit on top of an individual podcast. They're for a series of podcasts. When you've listened to the series, you then would want to play this thing, which is what I think is really good is matching games, sort of sophisticated matching games. This is not the same with the same but with something associated with it, and when you pick it up, it actually tells you the word of the association. So that's there, but look at the HTMLs, and that's a simple HTML file. I can put it in, but to build it automatically, such that it doesn't take me a huge amount of time, I really have to actually get people on board helping me get this done. It's, so the software's there. It's a fundamental different view in that, it's a fundamental view of educationalists in general. They want to build an institute, they want people to come to them, and then they've got a problem with bus parking and all that type of stuff. And people, that, in internet ways, is, I want to do something, but I want to deploy it on Moodle so that everyone can have to log in. Go in, so that they have to, people have to put that investment in there, and then sort of, if you look at the overall flow rate, although it's very high it's easy to implement and easy to manage and control the actual volumes and numbers of people going into it mean that long term it's not going to go as well as really open source apps where you can do a test without logging in. You can actually get a full experience without having to sign up for anything, and then you can get multiple contributors to it, and then the contributors submit their ideas to a bot. I've done this already, so at school, to get around all the submission stuff, people just email their homework to a bot. The bot said thank you very much and marked it for them. Yeah, it's pretty simple, simple for it. So that's where I'm going, and I'm just doing here. I've got another pretty serious part of this walk to get through. Thanks a lot for listening. Peter Hill Explains. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.